This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour three, G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We have some Cowboys draft talk here with you, an NFL draft big board report. We'll take a look at offensive players that the staff of the Morning News feels like there's a good chance the Cowboys could take in the draft, which is next Thursday night. Matter of fact, we are now right around the corner. And, of course, our fan parties are going to be at Pluckers once again. We'll be at all eight Pluckers locations partying with you on opening night of the draft. And our Path to the Draft coverage is brought to you by Pluckers and our friends at Zero Res as well. While we're promoting, tomorrow is National Crawfish Day, and we're going to be at Shell Shack, winner of Best Seafood Destination 8 years in a row by the Dallas Observer. So that's going to be an enchanted afternoon. Come join us for some crabs, some crawfish, some this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
You know you love it. Okay, before we get to these players, Stephen Jones was on the Fan earlier with the KMC Masterpiece, and they were talking All In again. And he said, we spend max money year in, year out. All 32 can only spend the same amount of money over a five-year stretch. When we're all said and done, we max out our cap every year. We will have done that. What comes with having a good roster, which we do, we're also looking towards signing our own guys. Mm-hmm. And he says, it doesn't mean it happens overnight, but when you're wanting to sign players like Dak and Mike and CeeDee, then you have to hold money back if you want a realistic chance of signing those guys. What do you think about that explanation?
I just think it's, you see what the Eagles are doing right now. They have top five paid players at all of the positions. I mean, part of the reason why they've hurt themselves is because they wait so long on a lot of these deals, and then these guys are getting big time bag. And that's what you've done with Dak Prescott. And so, I think there is, if they wanted to, just because they have a certain amount of cash they don't want to spend more than. And they're right there towards the brink of it in terms of actual cash spending. They don't want to get over probably $200 million in cash spending. And so they're sitting there at like $183 right now, and they're like, we can't afford to do anything because this is where we at from a cash standpoint, even though the salary cap can always be finagled. If you have any desire to do it, you can always do it. No matter how bad things get, you can still kick the can again. You can keep kicking it. They have no desire to do that. And then they're looking at their cash spending, and they're like, we are putting a self-imposed $200 million budget on ourselves. And so we're right there at the brink of it. If we want to keep these big name guys, then we can't spend anything else. We can't even afford you Tyron Smith at a small guaranteed amount that the Jets just gave you.
Yeah, that's my biggest problem with what they're doing is the thing with the Jets and with Tyron Smith. That's the one I think I would have tried to get done, because say you get Tyron Smith back and you work with him and then you got him playing left tackle. I know it's 13 games, but it's still probably going to be a pretty high level. You've created a pretty big hole over there at left tackle, unless their intent is to move Tyler Smith over there, and we don't know if that's exactly going to be the case. If you somehow had signed Tyron Smith back, then really all you had to really address is the center spot. And then that way, I think I would feel a lot better. I don't have a problem with the guys they've let go. I really don't.
Tyron?
Yeah, Tyron's the one that bothers me the most because I feel
it
like
wasn't it wasn't even a lot of money.
Yeah, but to me, it's like, could there have been something differently done? I think the fact that they went on a per-game basis, if they do the per-game basis right now and they didn't do it last year, maybe you have Tyron here. Yeah. But the fact that he already went through that one time. And
well, the Jets ended up doing a similar incentive deal. It was so low of money. It's like, wow, that's what crazy. The Cowboys couldn't do.
Yeah.
And when they did that, that's when I said, you're not going to win the Super Bowl this year because the only way you could win it was Tyron playing at an all-pro level and drafting a rookie center who could play at a Pro Bowl level. Now you might have a good enough running game to go win it. I just think, they're too strict with their own self rules. But tell me more about this cash cap. Chief, they don't spend over $200 million in any offseason. Is that how they're
just their their yearly cash spending? I saw it was a great thread. It was probably a couple of weeks ago now from our buddy Joey Ikes, and it went really like super viral. It caught on. It was right after they had just reported how they, like Jerry just put in $100 million to whatever oil company,
Blackstone or whatever that the company is.
And everybody's like, man, why are you spending, so you're willing to spend money on that. You're not willing to spend it on your own team. You're seeing it again with the Arkansas stuff. He's willing to throw down to make sure John Calipari's there. But you're not spending for your own team. And it's like, yeah, because the he's going to see tangible dollar return on that $100 million with the oil that he put in.
Yeah.
What's the business? Like now he's at the point, he's running the business. He's running the Cowboys like a business. And so there's financial caps that you're going to put on yourself because you're trying to make money on this. The Cowboys aren't what is really making him all the money. That money is what it is. The contract, the TV contracts, what the league is getting and all that stuff. Like it doesn't, the product on the field is not him paying an extra $20 million, $30 million in cash for his roster is not actually putting dollars back into his pocket.
Yeah.
Those dollars are already going to happen if his team sucks or doesn't. Hmm. But he knows that he's going to get the return on investment when he puts $100 million in cash right now into an oil company. That is actually going to come back and be more dollars in his pocket.
Or he could lose money on that, right? I mean, the thought about business, he's invested a ton of money in this company already, buying a bunch of stocks and stuff like that, and evidently he believes in it. I don't know what his return on that spin.
There's at least potential of giant financial return.
Yeah, the potential,
whereas when you invest in your roster, that is not the case. Unless you have a huge desire to actually win. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden you could say, okay, now these dollars are going towards something. But they're at $183 million cash, and that is not anywhere close. And you can look at the cap and be like, well, they're close there. Yes, but how much cash spending are they actually doing? And Tom Downey also put some stuff out. I'm pulling it up right now to see exactly where they rank, but they're towards the bottom of the league in actual cash spending. And Joey Ikes' theory is they have a $200 million threshold they're not willing to go over because that's what it's been for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
From 2021 to now, they have not been willing to go past $200 million spending. Other teams like the Eagles are going much more than that because they're willing to come out of pocket for it.
You know, I think it's a way of managing the cap year to year to create a consistent winning team, but not great team. I think you look at it like, okay, if it's 200 a year, that means we can spend $1 billion over 5 years. Two of those years, we should spend 350 or 400. And then the other years we should spend zero. Those are the years we're planning on having a top 10 pick and not making the playoffs. But when it's time to make the playoffs, we supplement what we were able to draft and build and save from the previous year and then drop the hammer on the winning roster with like $400 million. That's what Tampa did. That's what the Rams have done. You know, that's, you know, you ride that roller coaster up and down. If you plug away consistently, it's going to create higher lows, but also lower highs. And that's what they've done for themselves.
Yeah.
Create a slim channel between 9 and 12 wins with no real chance of winning the Super Bowl or, you know, being a horrible team for multiple years in a row. If they're bad, it's usually only because they had bad injury luck. That's the only thing that's going to make them horrible. And I think their main goal is to stay relevant for TV ratings, you know, and they are accomplishing that. Built as a business.
Tom Downey, this was on March 7th. The Dallas Cowboys spent the third fewest amount of actual cash over the last three seasons.
Okay.
The only two teams behind them are the Packers and Saints, and both of those teams had large quarterback dead cap hits in that time frame.
All righty. So that's a look at the cap management team perspective and how Stephen Jones answered that question this morning with us. With the KMC Masterpiece here on 105 Through the Fan. You can go back and listen to all of that interview if you'd like with the Odyssey app, Twitch, YouTube, 105throughthefan.com, instant rewind functionality, on-demand playlist. Morning news here, their panel, Watkins, Moore, Gelkin. They did a story here today, Cowboys draft targets, which offensive players could Dallas have eyes on? And you know how they work their sources and look at the meetings and the visits and all that. Your quarterbacks, Carter Bradley, South Alabama. Caden Slovis, BYU. Devin Leary, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Could either of these guys be something, Brian, or are you bottom fishing on day three?
Well, that's all clearly the one that makes the most sense if you really want to talk about the guy that could actually feel like could play is Leary from Kentucky. He's a transfer from North Carolina State. He hasn't made a ton of starts in his career, and he's not the tallest guy. He's a 6'1", 215-pound guy, but he's a guy that doesn't play panicked and he doesn't play stressed. And there's some accuracy to the way he plays. His size might turn a lot of scouts off. He's got comparisons to a Jimmy Garoppolo, the type of player that he is. Played really well in the Shrine game out here at the Star. So he could be a guy, if out of those three guys, I think that's the guy that I would like to take a look at. If you said, okay, you get a choice, you could pick one of these guys, Leary from Kentucky would be the guy that I would look at.
If these guys are talking about it, that was the lead section of the story. Yeah. I feel like maybe there is a chance the Cowboys draft quarterback, but that would still be a surprise to me considering Dak and Lance and Rush on
the roster. Yeah, I think it would be a surprise. I think they're just trying to kind of cover all the positions here.
Make sure that one doesn't slip through the cracks. Yeah. It could be the next Tommy.
There you go.
Hey, running back, dude, they got eight guys on this list.
They're hunting a running back. They're clearly hunting a running back here.
I mean, you've talked about most of these guys already, but Brooks, Allen, Irving, Benson. We've heard you and Zach talk about those guys a lot. Tyrone Tracy, Purdue.
Yeah, interesting guy because he is a transfer from Iowa, and he was a wide receiver at Iowa that they've made a running back. This could be somewhat of what you had with Tony Pollard.
Ooh.
This could be like this fourth, fifth round pick if you didn't take a back early. Tyrone Tracy from Purdue is a guy that catches the ball really, really well. He's a tough guy with the ball in his hands. He's 5'11". He's 209 pounds. You know, you have to kind of draft this guy and figure things out, but I would compare him to how a Tony Pollard is as a player.
40-inch vertical jump, 4.48 40, explosive athlete.
Yeah.
Jace McClellan, Bama. Rasheen Ali Marshall.
Yeah.
Amani Bailey, TCU. Would you like either of those three gentlemen?
Yeah, the Ali one from Marshall makes the absolute. He's one of those guys to me. When you watch him, he's got the toughness. He's got the ability to run between the tackles. He's got the speed to get to the outside. You're probably looking at a fifth, sixth round guy right there. These are guys that were talking about Dallas Day and also 30 visit guys as well.
There you go. Yeah, I'm one of my concerns is that they're going to just try and make sure like they're going to overdo it with their need for the running back and try and get one of these guys in the second round when you just don't need to do that.
If you're going to do that, you know, if you want the best chance to hit would be Brooks from Texas or Benson from Florida State. Other than that, man, you're just it's going to be, you know, there's some faults and some warts for all these guys coming up. The Lloyd from USC is a guy that I would love to have in the third round if you're going that route.
They have three tight ends here. Are the Cowboys looking for another one? You have Barner from Michigan, Spanford, Minnesota, and Iowa.
Yeah.
Eric All?
All is his name. If you had to give me the choice of the tight end that I would take out of that group, give me the Jarrett Wiley from TCU will probably go a lot higher on some people's boards. He might even be the second tight end taken in the draft, you know, but I think the thing with Eric All is he's a transfer from Michigan. He's super productive. He's 6'4", he's 252. He's got versatility to his game. He plays like an athlete. There's burst, there's quickness off the line. He's a physical player, he's a run blocker. He could be a threat at all depths of the routes, short, medium, and then down the field. So there might be some question about his separation, but I didn't see that as a huge problem. Eric All from Iowa catches the ball really well.
Think he could help the running game?
He can, I think, because of the fact that the physicality which he plays with. At 6'4", 252, you know, as a run blocker, like I say, he gets into his guy, and he can get it some movement when necessary. Iowa's done a pretty good job over the years with their tight ends and their ability to run the football.
Day three guy. Nice. I don't want to see another day two tight end after last year. I feel like you have other needs, unless he's just an absolute freight train and going to help you block and all that. Now, offensive line, they list 11 guys. Yeah. How many different offensive linemen have they had in? I mean, we'll go through some of the names. Two TCU guys with Coker and Patrick.
Those could be Dallas Day guys right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Giovanni Manu, University of British Columbia.
Okay, here's an interesting cat. Now, this is a guy we all had to scramble and get tape on. He's in that 6'4", 6'5", 328-pound range, and he is a superior athlete at that size. He's very much like your left tackle that plays with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mailata.
Mailata. He is that maybe a little even better a type of an athlete, foot athlete. British Columbia has two offensive linemen, left tackle, right tackle. I think Manu, the left tackle, is one that – I think both of them are going to hear their name draft night. But if I had a choice between the two, I would take the left tackle, Manu, just for his size, his athletic ability, plays in a two-point stance. You got to understand, though, in that Canadian college program, he's playing against much smaller guys. He does dominate at every level. I wish he would have had an opportunity to maybe play some, like at the Senior Bowl or some of the other All-Star games, but didn't get that to happen. But he is a hell of a player when you start talking about a guy that size.
What is that equivalent to, that Canadian college ball?
That would be like almost D3. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I don't know how much you guys have watched CFL football, where there's 12 guys and they attack the line of scrimmage. It's a lot of movement going on and stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot of throwing the ball. But when they do hand it off, he's blocking guys that he's probably well over 50, 60 pounds bigger than.
Right on. There you have it. Dallas Cowboys NFL Draft Big Board Report. Our path to the draft continues. Brought to you by Pluckers. Join us at all the Pluckers locations coming up on draft night for an amazing time had by all. I believe Lucius and I are going to be at the Arlington location. That's
yes.
Next Thursday night. Where are you going to be, Chief?
I'll be in Grapevine.
Right on.
Ready to tear it up. Game.
You can get our full schedule on our socials and online. Yeah. Woolchuck's top 10's coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Well, we might get a little Dallas Maverick conversation going here with Derek Jones Jr. And I also have a top 10 list of the day. Yesterday was National Laundry Day. What are the top 10 most hated house chores next in the nation?
Nice pass.
Up top, Lively had the link to go grab it. Going to work with the little hook shot. No! But Derek Jones Jr. cleared for takeoff and that extra bounce on the rim.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks at DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. As, the Mavs are getting set to take on the Clippers. Game one is going to be Sunday. And joining us now, the man in the poster on that highlight, in a good way, the Dallas Mavericks forward, the 2020 Slam Dunk champion, high-flying Derek Jones Jr. here with you on the Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing great, man. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since you came aboard, so I know it's late, but welcome to Dallas. We've really been excited with what you brought to the team this year. Have you enjoyed it so far?
I love every moment. Every moment I've been on the floor, every moment I've been off the floor with my guys, every travel day, it's just been a wonderful experience for me.
It's really neat. I think we can tell, at least from the outside looking in, your guys' chemistry is great. Everybody seems to be having a blast. What do you think makes this team special like that?
Every man next to us, we just want to see him do great. We want to see everybody be great and whatever role that they play. And we're just happy with everybody being successful. I mean, that's all it is.
The defense has really come on strong here the latter half of the season, last 30-plus games or so. What's been the biggest difference defensively because you guys are just playing so well?
Just all being on one string. Just when one moves, we all move, and we all in a tandem, and we just ready for whatever. That's just what it is. We go out every night and compete on the defensive end and give it everything that we got. So,
how much did things change when you picked up a PJ Washington and Gafford there at the deadline?
A whole lot. I mean, it just gave us more rim protection and more defense on the perimeter.
Derek, when you look at this the playoffs ahead, and what's the thing that, like, Mavs fans, as you get ready for the Clippers, where is the focus going to be for you guys? Again, I'm trying to dig into your game plan stuff, but where can Mav fans say, okay, we're going to have to be good here or good there in order to have success against the Clippers?
I mean, obviously we got to be good on the defensive end, because with the firepower we have offensively, we can score with the best of them. We can put up the points. That's never been a problem for us. We just got to lock in defensively and do our thing on the defensive end.
A lot of guys on this Clippers team that can really get after it and attack. Is there a player on the roster that you particularly enjoy going against?
Nah, not one man. I just love playing the game of basketball with my team. And we going out there and just standing on what we got to stand on and doing what we got to do. Because at the end of the day, we're not trying to go home. So we going out there, give it everything we got to get the win.
You guys feeling like this could be your year to go all the way?
It's possible. So we have our shot. So we just got to do it, whatever it is it takes to get the wins. It takes 16 of them. So we just got to get 16 wins.
You're Dallas Maverick, Derrick Jones Jr. with us here in the G-Bag Nation. I'm seeing airplane mode and flight 55 as nicknames for you. Which one do you prefer?
I always take airplane mode because that's what I was before I came here. That's been my nickname for some years now. So, flight 55 is wonderful. But, if you ask me, I'm always going to go with airplane mode.
Well, it's a win-win either way. They're both badass, but airplane mode it is. Is there a better feeling in all of the world than, like, what is the second best feeling to just dunking on someone's face?
I don't know. That's a wonderful feeling for me. Second best is probably getting a wide open dunk, obviously, or knocking down a big three that we need in the game.
How about blocking LeBron, though?
Yeah.
I really don't even be paying attention, but really just I don't care who the person is that I'm getting the block on. I'm just trying to get a stop so we can go score on the other end. That's just me. I love defense. I love making it a tough night for the opposing team. That's just something I love doing.
I believe you, but I don't believe you. Blocking LeBron James like that was amazing. brought me out of my chair, Derek.
It happens. And he caught me before too. So
how much trash talking is a LeBron James doing? Like, when you block his shot, does he even acknowledge it? Does he say good play, or is he like I'm coming for you now? Like, how does that interaction go?
For me, it ain't really no interaction. I don't do too much talking on the floor. I just play defense and knock down the shots that I get and be aggressive offensively. I don't know. You say I'm a humble guy on the court, but I don't really be talking unless somebody says something to me.
Hey, speaking of saying things, the 469, we have this text toy open. He says, tell Derek his DoorDash driver says, thanks for the great tips. Apparently, you're taking care of that DoorDash driver pretty good there. He wanted to shout you out.
Oh, man. I order DoorDash all day, every day.
You and me both, man. Yeah. I can't get enough.
What's your favorite thing to DoorDash? Like, are you just running it up at a particular spot? They know your order now?
Something like that. I ordered some catfish and some fried shrimp and like chicken wings from this spot. It's downtown, around downtown.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, if you decide you don't want to DoorDash tomorrow and you want to get out a little bit, we're going to be at Shell Shack for National Crawfish Day tomorrow here in Dallas off Henderson. You know, so come hang out with us and have some crawfish and whatnot. Have some shrimp.
I don't sound like a bad idea.
No. who's the teammate that's most likely to invite guys from the team over to his place and do some grilling out?
It happened. D-Live, he had a little chef come through and whip up some food for the guys. So, I'll probably say D-Live for sure.
You guys have so much time off this week before the game. Do you enjoy that, or are you chomping the bit to get this series started?
No, we in the gym. We working.
Is it nice to get the week to get everybody refreshed after such a great finish to the season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody getting their feet back under them, just getting a little relaxing time, you know, a little downtime to chill for a little bit. But, I mean, we still in the gym. We're not in the gym just going at it, but we doing what we need to do to lock into the game plan and making sure everybody is on one page.
Hey, Derek, I was reading a story about Luka that they did a form on him recently, and he has his car collection. Are you a guy that do you enjoy cars yourself, or have you ever gone over and seen Luka's car collection that he's rolling with right now?
Nah, I ain't see his car collection yet. He brought a few through. I've seen a few, and he got some nice cars. I'll tell you that. I don't think I've seen them all, but I'm gonna go over there and I'm gonna see them one day. I need to see those. But no, I do like cars.
Yeah,
I love cars.
Yeah, he's got evidently this Doomsday truck or something like that that he drives around in that's supposed to be really impressive. So I've never seen it myself, but I mean it sounds like it's just a big old hoss of a truck.
I've seen it.
It's a huge truck. I know.
Looks like it gets about 4 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, I was about to say we can't afford the gas on that one, can we?
I'm not trying to afford. I'm not trying to pay for the gas on that one.
So what is Airplane Mode's favorite car to drive?
That's probably my Jeep Tri-Cut.
Ooh,
okay.
Not nothing too flashy. I don't know. I guess I got a need for speed. I love fast cars. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I am responsible. I drive responsible. Mm-hmm. I love the feeling of being able to have a fast car. I ain't going that fast, but you know, just knowing that my car can go that fast. Hey. I love it.
That Trackhawk can get up and go too. I like watching the videos of them pulling up on like a Ferrari or a Porsche or something, and they get them.
They think they're gonna leave that track call.
Yeah.
That track call is gonna leave them.
That's awesome, man. Well, hope to see you around town in it sometime. Awesome first year and with the Mavs, and we're so happy to have you here helping the defense and the rim protection and getting you some buckets and some sweet dunks in there as well. And you know, give them hell. We'll be pulling for you, Derek.
Thank you.
Cheers. There he goes. Mavericks forward Derek Jones Jr. here on 105.3 The Fan. And yes, as Chief mentioned, tomorrow's National Crawfish Day will be at the Shell Shack off Henderson.
It'd be nice if he showed up.
Yeah, who knows who you might see?
He's into that fried catfish and stuff like that, man. That might be a good spot for him to show up at.
He's definitely just chilling in this time off, you know, just taking it real easy right now.
That's right. That's my takeaway. Top five fallacies about your boys being told, being what?
What?
Top five fallacies being told about your Cowboys.
Yeah, okay.
This offseason. Are these lies or good journalism? That's next. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan. Thank you, Lucius. And thanks to Derek Jones Jr. for joining us here. Mavs getting set here to visit the Clippers in game one on Sunday afternoon. Looking forward to that. And thanks to Derek for making time for us. We have five fallacies about the Cowboys offseason, and I want to, this is from Blog of the Boys. Do you believe it's a myth, or do you believe it's a good journalism here? Jerry Jones is too stubborn and only cares about his brand is number one. Blog of the Boys says the reality is the Joneses do care about winning. They just have a different approach than most, or maybe you would, Brian. What do you say?
You know, for so many years, Gavin, you were always telling me that they thought about the brand more than winning, and I didn't want to believe it. And it's starting to appear that way. I really didn't want to believe it. After working 14 years with the Joneses and stuff like that, I thought winning was really important to them. I think they like to win, but I think they want to do it their way. And so, you know, their way is not my way, obviously, because they got rid of me. You know, they said, hey, we don't need you in the building anymore. So that's fine. But I just feel like, though, that part of it's unfortunate, because if there's anybody that's benefited from a fan base and support and all that, it's been the Cowboys and the Joneses. You know, they to me, it's if it's all about just the brand, then man, that's gonna be hard to be a fan of this team that way.
Yeah, it is. They should give back more. They should go for it for us.
Yeah.
How much we've given to them without anything back for 30 years.
I think that there's certain points in times I see what Ray Davis did with the Rangers. They went out and they got a general manager that's, you know, and trust me, I previous general manager I was friends with, you know, and so to get CY in here, to spend the money, to spend, you know, almost $500 million on players. You know, that's a commitment right there. And the Joneses, they've spent money, but they've spent money how they want to spend money. And there's certain things they're really, really good at. We talk about the drafting and things like that, but we're going to see. We're going to see about what happens. This next year is going to be huge because they could be getting rid of a coach.
Yeah.
They could be getting rid of a quarterback. And we'll see how that all plays out. But the part of the brand I didn't want to believe. But
well,
I think you're right.
I think they're too smart to accidentally run a team that's just incapable of winning a championship. I think this has to be intentional in order to maximize profits. If they think this is also the best way to win a championship, then we're really up the creek without a platter.
Yeah.
Paddle?
Yeah. This is...
Platter or paddle?
Platter. I could use a fried food platter.
Yeah, you're floating down the creek with your boys, and you got a platter. Maybe brought his charcuterie board that he's so proud of.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's wearing socks at least to cover his shoe. You cover his foot while you try and keep your appetite.
Man, I'm getting older right before your eyes.
We're going to have to pull that. We're going to need to break that one down.
The creek without a platter is amazing.
Yeah, dude. You know, who would want to be on a nice boat going up a creek and not have a nice platter of fried food?
Yeah.
That's the way I see it, Chief.
Eating catfish while you're cruising the creek.
We had a good conversation going on here about their incompetent team building until I lost grasp of the English language there. What did you want to add to the conversation?
I'm putting a note in there to just make sure we pull that back. We're going to need to break it down. There was a handful of slip-ups on the way to the grand finale. That was awesome. It started with panels and ended with platters. And there were some creeks involved. That was great. Ultimately, I don't remember either, but I think it was, you nailed it, whatever
there
the tape
go.
Was.
Well,
yeah.
The thing about the whole thing was about is the brand more important?
Oh, yes, yeah, because they're not actually, if you're not building this thing to actually win a Super Bowl. You're building it to be solid. You know that by doing X, Y, and Z, you can be solid. Mm-hmm. But there's the business factor of all this is way more important.
Yeah.
And that's just
you can't mess up the bag by trying to win the Super Bowl really hard.
Right.
You know, and a number of teams are, you know, in the old NFL and old, I say 15 years ago, you could do that. It was a good strategy. The Giants won twice like that.
Yeah.
Steelers won like that. The Packers were winning like that.
I just remember competing against a Jerry Jones who was up to his eyeballs in debt, and that's when we got the best Jerry Jones as a general manager.
Yeah,
because he had to do things too. He had to be aggressive. He had to try and turn things around. He was, you know, losing $1 million a month on his football team, and he couldn't sustain that. So to me,
you had to win to get paid.
It's
now you don't have to win big to get paid.
I think we're asking too much of 81-year-old Jerry Jones to do anything different.
Yeah, you know,
I'll point the finger at Steven and others in that family. Yeah, you need to take the mantle from your dad and do things a little bit differently here. But your brand is what it is. But there's a fan base out here that deserves a championship.
So I think we all disagree with Blogging the Boys saying that that's a fallacy. I think they say it is only cares about his brand. It should be cares about brand more than winning, prioritizes brand over winning. And maybe it's 51-49, but whatever ratio it is, it's too business focused. Now, they do some things well. Fallacy number four, the Cowboys let good players go. And I love this. They let Pollard go. They let Biotish go. They let Hankins go. They let Dorrance Armstrong go. It was a master class in letting average players go were about to make millions.
I have no problem. The only, and I said it earlier when we were talking about it, the only problem I had was the Tyron Smith one. Because when you see the final numbers in the Tyron Smith one, you're thinking, well, maybe they could have stepped up on that one.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is these guys walk out of the door, and it's no problem the guy's walking out of the door, but then you're standing there by the door, and you're waiting for people to come in, and you're not getting any of that. So now you haven't replaced any of these guys.
Yeah, yeah, that's the reality is, you know, they've done a really good job of drafting and letting the right guys go. But one of these years over the last 3 or 4 years, they needed to pick that one and make a huge move towards winning the Super Bowl and making sure they could run the ball and stop the run. And well,
They might be letting go of their quarterback after this season.
Yeah.
You know, that might be the next move they make.
That would be huge. Cowboys paint themselves into a corner come draft time. I do believe that that's a fallacy. Number five, the Cowboys wait too long to extend their own players.
They know the pressure, though. The scouts feel pressure there. They feel it. And you know, that's their job. Yeah. But they know how important this draft is for them.
I mean, a lot of years they'll go about making sure they don't have any holes,
right?
You know, and this year they've left more holes.
They've left, yeah.
So, and that's just because they are up against the cap in a major way. I think that's one thing. That if I was going to add a fallacy, is that the Cowboys have suddenly gone cheap this year. That's not the case. They had so many good players, and they've been pushing money back.
Right.
Now is where it all comes due.
Right. The Bills do here.
Yeah,
today.
The Bills do. Yeah. And the crazy thing about that, Chief, is even with them managing it so conservatively, the bill still comes due. You know, even with saying, oh, my goodness, we got to look at this as a 3 or 4 year plan. We got to manage it more conservatively and not really go for it. Even then, the bill comes due and you have to basically, I think, flush 2 years of optimal winning in Dak's prime. As you get this cap in order, it's the reality of pro football and pro sports. And they still have not figured out a way to maximize that cycle well enough. Okay. Where are we going next, sir?
Well, let's hit a rim sesh here. Luka's going to get us ready for Mavs versus Clippers, the Olympic team. It's official. Who's on the roster? And a stat of the day for you next year in the nation.